This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's start with the what appears to be somewhat better injury news for the San Diego Padres. Welcome back. 7 a.m. It's Ben and Woods, Monday morning on 97.3 The Fan. Luis Arraez was hurt yesterday in the fifth inning, trying to stretch that single into a double, with the play at the plate, I think he thought he's probably going through, but they ended up getting him at second, and unfortunately, he jammed his shoulder / neck, sliding into second base and getting tagged out. He stayed in the game for the next half inning to play defense, but then in the sixth, they took him out of the game. And, of course, he's been so good. You know, any thought that you're going to lose Luis Arraez for any period of time is now cause for extreme concern among the San Diego Padres. Mike Schilt said after the game, it was really a precaution. And, you know, right now it's looking like best-case scenario. And Arraez, I believe, said after the game, I'm okay. So hopefully that means he'll be available tonight, or if not tonight, you know, within the next day or two to get back into the Padres lineup. Because I don't even want to imagine the Padres without Luis Arraez anymore. Since he's been here, it's just he has such been a difference maker for this team.
I was just going to say, is this an extreme take? I never want to see him play in another uniform for the rest of his career.
Yeah, it's extreme, but
is
not-
it?
It's not necessarily, it's not wrong. It's extreme, but it's not wrong.
I never want to see him play for another team again.
In baseball, there are so few players that remain with one team for the bulk of their careers. And he is still, you know, how old is he? 26, 7 years old? I mean, he's got many, many years likely to go, hopefully. Maybe, you know, 10, 12 years. To say he will never play for another team is somewhat extreme.
He's 27 years
27.
Old. I never want to see him in another uniform, ever. And I know that the debate about Luis Arraez will rage on for the rest of his career. How could a guy like this, he's already been on three teams, and Tony Gwynn Jr. was talking about it, some teams don't value what he brings to the table. I do. I absolutely do. And I think a lot of Padres fans out there do. And I think that maybe on certain teams it's not as valuable. It is massively valuable for this team. Do I wish he hit more doubles? Yes, of course. Do I wish he had 20 home run power? Of course. He's so good bat to ball. But what he does, he is the best at. The best.
I think here's an interesting question, and this may be something to talk about for, you know, months to come, but would you want to see Luis Arraez try to change his game at all?
No. Not really at all.
Not really. I mean, you know, Tony Gwynn evolved as a baseball player.
Yeah, a lot
player,
of guys do,
And I would always think that every player is going to try to get better, but I would also caution Luis Arraez, you don't want to get away from what you do so well. And that short swing, you know, that bat to ball, even though it's not going to produce a lot of power and extra base hits, I don't think I want to see him change too much of what he's doing to try to add OPS or try to add more slug to his game at the expense of what he does so well.
I'm telling you, the only thing I would do differently with Luis Arraez is maybe hit him somewhere else in the order, because the stats were posted over the weekend. Career batting average with bases empty, .307. Phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Men on base, .365. Runners in scoring position, .372. That's insanity to me. That's insanity. You know how hard that is to do. Hitting leading off is really hard. He does it really well. Hitting with men on base, really hard. He does it very well. Hitting with runners in scoring position can prove impossible to the San Diego Padres sometimes, and he does it at a 372 clip. I don't want him to go anywhere else. He is a perfect fit for our team, a perfect fit for our culture, a perfect fit for our fan base. He has been such a breath of fresh air for this team. The biggest, maybe the biggest that we've had here in so many years, Ben, of covering the team together. The guy's unbelievable. The work ethic that he has, the dedication to his craft. He is a guy I want here until he's done. I mean, he is just fantastic. Fantastic.
Before we get to the other injury news, I want to throw out the numbers for a contestant for Take on Woods. So there's no qualifying today. If you beat or tie Woods, you are just winning a prize. It's a tickets to the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair on June 21st. It's comedy. Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, Arsenio Hall. We've got tickets for that show for you. If you call in now, 833-288-0973, and Battle Woods in our musical trivia game coming up in about 5 minutes, you can win those today. 833-288-0973. So hopefully, Arise is fine. Obviously, on Saturday, we got the somewhat disturbing news that both Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove are headed back to the injured list for the second time this season. It's a strained groin, which is not good, but you could see something was off in his legs in the last couple of starts as he struggled after his 25-inning scoreless streak. So hopefully that's a couple of weeks and he's feeling fine again and picks back up where he left off before he got hurt. With Joe, it's obviously more concerning. He had this 2-week rest already, came back, looked fine, but the triceps tendonitis, the elbow inflammation that he's getting is coming back again. You figure he's got to go down for a longer period of time if it's just rest this time, and that's just still kind of being hopeful that does anything when he comes back. And if it doesn't help, at that point you're going to have to start considering other more invasive surgical perhaps options for Joe Musgrove.
More dire options.
Yeah.
And it's tough. I mean, it's he pitched really well his last time out, and Yu has shown flashes of dominance this year. And again, you don't want to get to the end of the season, Ben, and go and lamenting, what might have been if Yu and Joe had just stayed healthy. You have to do something to you got to do something to alleviate those concerns. And I know right now you're playing with the teams you're playing. I don't want to say it's never a good time to have two of your best pitchers out. If it had to come at a certain time, now is better than it has been. Does that make sense? With a little bit softer schedule, you do feel like if the offense can mash, and if some of these guys can just step up and give you quality innings, 4 or 5 innings, and I'm so worried about the bullpen being just overtaxed with guys that are used to throwing at least 6 when they go out every single time. You can't just go find those guys. They don't really exist. You can't just pluck them off a tree. It's going to cost you.
Randy Vasquez did a more than decent job.
Absolutely.
Stepping in at the last minute on Saturday. The question now is, what will they do with Yu Darvish's scheduled start tomorrow? And the speculation, Dennis Lynn writing about it in The Athletic, that it's going to be time to call up one of the kids. And Adam Major is first up. We'll see if they make that move tomorrow, but he got promoted from AA to AAA. The numbers in AAA haven't been as good, but if you read Matt Fryer's, that the Pacific Coast League is going to do that to numbers, and some of the numbers behind the numbers have still looked good with Adam Major, and that would be my guess that we will see the first of the young wave of starting pitchers coming up tomorrow with Adam Major making his debut, his Major League debut against the Los Angeles Angels tomorrow night. Now, what can you expect? You don't really know when a rookie comes up. Could be great. Could be awful. Could be anything with Adam Major tomorrow. But that's what the Padres have been pressed into. And that's what these guys are there for. A.J. Preller talked in spring training about, relying on these young guys and giving them an opportunity at some point. They didn't do it at the start of the season, at least pitching-wise. We'll see if they are ready to start bringing up the first of that wave tomorrow.
We need a Mad Friars chat. I think what is the long way of saying this. I need Kevin Charity to call in today, tomorrow. I need Mark Wilkins, one of those guys, to call in today or tomorrow and let everybody know what to expect. Because people, again, are just throwing out names. Somebody said Sean Reynolds. He's terrible. Not effective at all. And that was a guy that we got back for. We got him. Yeah. No. He was.
That was Jay Groom. Yeah.
Yeah. We got him in a deal we did with Miami.
The Weathers deal.
The Weathers deal.
Yeah.
And Weathers, by the way, has been lights out. Lights out for Miami. So, you know, listen, can't cry over.
Jackson Wolf threw really well yesterday.
Yesterday. So.
I don't know that means he's ready to come up. Obviously not tomorrow, but.
Right.
It's just there's no obvious answer
Correct. Right
now, and majors.
There's no Paul Skeens waiting down there to make
Not
his
yet.
Debut. Not yet.
Not yet.
We'll keep you guys abreast of that. But I would like to check in with the guys from Mad Friars, Adam. So if you can make that happen, that'd be great.
And before you do that, though, why don't you get us into today's game of Take on Woods?
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
James is our contestant for Take on Woods today. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning.
All right. As I mentioned, if you can beat or tie Woods, we're just going to hook you up instantly with a pair of tickets to Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair on June 21st, featuring Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall. Tickets are on sale now at sdfair.com. Give you the category choices to give you a little advantage. We've got It's Not False. That one you just figure out as you go. We've got Ooh Ooh, I Know This One. Those are five bands with double O's in their name. And we have a mystery category, which is revealed with the first song, the 2 second song. So that's all I can give you right now, but you make the choice between It's Not False, Ooh Ooh, I Know This One, or the mystery category, James.
Let's go mystery.
All right, mystery category. I'll let Adam get that fired up, and I will remind you that Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. You'll have 60 seconds to answer up to five questions. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock, and we'll start out with the 2 second song. Adam will play 2 to 5 seconds of a song. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that one. And keep in mind, it's the mystery category, so either the title or the artist will very much reveal what the theme is for the rest. But you can always pass and figure it out as you go, like Woods does. So, James, are you ready to play?
Let's go.
All right, Adam, you ready to go? All right, 60 seconds on the clock in the mystery category. Starts with our 2 second song. Your time begins when Adam plays the music. Good luck, James. Let's take on Woods.
That's Pink. Pass on the song.
Okay. Okay. Which English band has sold over 250 million albums, including Grammy Hall of Famers, The Dark Side of the Moon, and The Wall?
Pink Floyd.
Correct. Henry Mancini composed which famous theme used for both the Inspector Clouseau movies and cartoons involving a colorful feline?
Pink Panther.
Correct. John Mellencamp asked the question, Ain't That America?
In
which, correct. Which colorful 2016 song by Frank Ocean is produced by Pharrell Williams and features additional vocals by Beyonce?
Pass.
Go back to our 2 second song. We just need the title. You can hear it. You've got, you're singing it to you. So What is the name of the title by Pink? But you did get three.
Sing more, please.
Pink Floyd, Pink Panther, Pink Houses, and then the tough one, Frank Ocean's, called Pink and White. But you did get three, and hang on the line there, James. That could be good enough, maybe even for a tie. We'll see. Get Woods back in. And reset everything. All right, James's score is locked in.
James got a good shot, man. I am not feeling sharp.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Adam plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on James.
That's Pink, but I don't know the name of the song yet.
All right. Yes. Which English band has sold over 250 million albums, including Grammy Hall of Famers, The Dark Side of the
Pink
Moon?
Pink Floyd.
Correct. Henry Mancini composed which famous theme used for both the Inspector Clouseau movies and cartoons involving a colorful feline?
Pink Panther?
Correct. John Mellencamp asked the question.
Pink Houses.
Correct. Which colorful 2016 song by Frank Ocean is produced by Pharrell Williams and features additional vocals by Beyonce?
Pink Taint.
Incorrect. So do you know the title of our mystery
Pink song?
Song.
Yes.
I don't. I'm out.
Then we've got a tie. 3-3. Good job, James. Neither of you could get the you played the exact same game.
Did we?
You got Pink, but not the title. Got the next three, and didn't know Pink and White by Frank Ocean. But So What?
Not Pink Taint?
Not Pink Taint. Okay. So What by Pink. But James, that is good enough. We're going to send you to the San Diego County Fair and tickets to the Kings of Late Night comedy show on June 21st. Congratulations. Hang on the line. Adam will get all your information during our break. And then we'll come back with Don't Do This with the Tommy Pham audio from yesterday. A unique national anthem performance and some heartwarming stories from the world of golf over the weekend as well. All coming up next with Benna Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Krafttaco.com. I will admit, today's Don't Do This stories are a little bit up to interpretation.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to get to both of these, so we squeezed them in this segment.
So I saw people, Benny, I'll get us started. I saw people complaining about this guy whistling the national anthem at an Orioles game.
Well, I may be one of them.
Okay.
I don't love this sound. It kind of gives my spine chills.
All right, well, let's hear the audio first. This is Chris Ullman, who was whistling the national anthem before the Orioles took a home a 6-1 win against the Red Sox last week. Whoa. It's like a pan flute. I think it's beautiful. Oh. It doesn't make you feel patriotic.
Frijole says, this guy blows.
He does. He does. Literally, that's what he's doing. All right, so I saw people complaining about this gentleman doing this, but how could you complain about a literal member of the International Whistling Hall of Fame?
There's an International Whistling Hall of Fame.
And this dude's been in it since 2012, okay? So he knows what he's doing. Notable whistling experiences for Ullman have included serenading George W. Bush and Dick Cheney in the White House, whistling the national anthem at sporting events, including but not limited to Wednesday's game, and performing with 10 different symphony orchestras. I would like your best attempt at the national anthem right now.
Mm-hmm. Gee.
That is absolutely terrible.
I can't get that high.
Yeah, I know.
What about you? All right, you're definitely better than I am. There's no doubt about that.
Give me like a year of practice. I will be your next international whistling.
I don't want to be around you for the year of practice. So.
Well, wait. Can you imagine my ego if I do get inducted into the Whistling Hall of Fame? Like, I would be unbearable to be around.
Do I have to go to the ceremony?
Yeah, dude, you have to present me. You have to do the speech.
That feels like that would be a rough ceremony. Lots of whistling.
Lots of whistling, of people. Lots of whistlers.
All the performances are whistling.
Yeah, it's 50.
I don't know about this.
50 minutes of performances. I love it. So I don't do this to all the people that were complaining about a Hall of Famer whistling the national anthem.
So I know you are a bit infatuated with Tommy Pham.
A little bit.
I just don't see how. I know some Padres fans were hoping that he would come back, and he has produced fairly well, having a good season for the Chicago White Sox after he signed with them back in April. But the Tommy Pham experience does come with. I'd be on edge if he was my teammate the whole time. Like, what is Tommy Pham going to get us into?
Yes.
Next, and this happened so yesterday. Tommy Pham was on third base. The White Sox were down one to the Milwaukee Brewers. A shallow fly ball was lifted to left field, and he got the go signal from his third base coach. He was thrown out by a fairly good margin, two or three steps at home plate. And then when he got up, I guess William Contreras, the catcher, had something to say to Tommy Pham. And Tommy Pham, you know, them's fighting words to Tommy Pham. He had to be held back by multiple teammates. And then as he's going back out on the field, he starts giving like a
shadow boxing,
you know, he's showing his jabs. And this is what he had to say, edited, after the game.
That's the wrong one. One run ball game, close play at the plate. And actually, it wasn't even close. It was a shallow fly ball to left field. You would expect the left fielder to throw the base runner out on that play. But the situation of the game. Third base coach sends you. You got to go. I'm nailed out at home by a mile. I'm going to the dugout, and you know I hear the tough guy with all the hoorah. Oh. You know, so I'll never start anything, but I'll be prepared to finish it. There's a reason why you know I do all kinds of fighting in the off season because I'm prepared to body up. So. Take it as what it is.
Hey, listen, you can say whatever you want about Tommy Pham. Do the Padres have anybody on their current 26-man roster that would, I don't know, defend themselves or a teammate?
But against what? To me, here's what happened in this situation.
You're right. He went out of the way to slide into control. If he had just done the slide they normally do, and if he dove
might have been a closer
first,
play.
He probably would have beat it.
He was like in the wrong spot. Made it an easy out.
His route was horrible.
My guess is that Contreras said something like, you don't go on that weak fly ball. It was like something weak. He was mad about the weird angle he took, that it
probably
seemed a little unsafe. That was coming in, so Contreras said something, and Tommy was kind of in the wrong there.
Kinda.
I mean, he shouldn't have been sent. He was mad at his own third base coach, who he threw under the bus.
100%.
So he's mad about getting sent. He then took a really weird line, I mean, Tommy Pham was the one who caused all of this. I don't blame William Contreras for jawing at him a little bit, going, you know, what are you doing, man? What was that?
Well, see,
you just
like,
saw.
So in the heat of a game, that stuff happens too. Like where you're yelling at each other, but it's more because you're like fired up, and that's probably what happened with Contreras. It was clean. I mean, it was clean. It really was. He went out of base. It wasn't like a dirty play at all, really. But I just, yeah, people look the reactions vary. Here's Mel in the chat saying Tommy's a clown, and then other people are like, I love Tommy Pham. But I think he's got that. Look, he's fascinating. He's fascinating.
Well,
with the
he's fascinating.
He's fascinating.
He's fascinating.
The shadow box bit, I died when he's walking up there. I mean, it was incredible. He is a absolute competitor, though. Like, he wants to win. He works hard. I mean, dude.
But it makes you wonder.
In a brawl, don't you want him?
Well, but when he was with the Padres,
yeah.
And of course he got stabbed outside of a strip club.
He sure did.
Don't you feel like there was probably a moment when Tommy Pham could have walked away from that?
I don't know that he walks away a lot.
But that's the thing. Sometimes you do need to walk away for your own well-being, for the good of your team. Sometimes you need to walk away from things. And Tommy, he doesn't walk away from things.
He doesn't.
He hears everything, and he has to say something and stand up to every... Me, if that was my teammate, I wouldn't like that. I would like...
Just scary.
Just come on, just go with the flow just a little bit, man, please.
He's
it's a long season.
He's an edgy... He's a guy... going out with a guy like that at night, you're like, what are we going to get into? Now,
right.
I was that guy in my 20s. My friends, like,
I wouldn't
wives...
I want to go out with you then.
My friends and their wives would be like, you can't go out with Woods. Like, you never knew what was going to happen. But not like Tommy Pham. I just think on the bench, you want that guy on your team. That guy's gonna have your back. And he may kill you.
Does he add a seed of doubt to the minds of the other team?
Yes.
Yes. I will admit that.
It's the eyewash was unreal. The shadow boxing was unreal. We probably need to bang your sweet and lovable golf
Fine.
Stories. We can get to them.
All right, little breaking Padres news.
This is breaking news from 97.3 The Fan.
And I would say.
Presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Well, it certainly could be. It works out well, but Robert Murray reporting what we discussed earlier. He says the San Diego Padres are calling up pitching prospect Adam Mazur, according to a source familiar with the situation. Mazur, the Padres' number 5 prospect, is expected to start on Tuesday, tomorrow night, against the Los Angeles Angels. So he will take Yu Darvish's turn in the rotation and make his major league debut tomorrow, just up the road in Anaheim. He's definitely been the strongest of the performers for the young Padres pitching staff in the minor league so far this year, earning a promotion up to AAA about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now he's going to get a chance in the big leagues.
Love it, man.
You know, hopefully, he'll have some bullpen behind him.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, Johnny Brito, someone long. But, you know, he's been throwing down there. So we will see what happens tomorrow with Adam Mazur, the first of the young guns coming up. There's, you know, Robbie Snelling, you know, maybe in a couple of years, Dylan Lesko. But Adam Mazur is the first to graduate
it,
and come up to the big leagues. And he will get to start tomorrow.
I love a debut. I love, 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 love a debut. I'm excited about it.
And that's don't and do this for a Monday. All right, we will come back and we will get into the other two games of the weekend, Friday and Saturday. The craziness of the Padres' 2 victories in Kansas City after we discuss the craziness of the loss already in our first hour. That's coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. My son's starting a new job today.
Really?
Yeah. He's actually going to be working at the same place his brother is working because he's had a good experience and they needed another employee. So
killer.
Now they're going to both be at the same store in Carlsbad.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I don't know if I could have worked with my brother.
I assume they're probably not going to be working at the same time.
Same
mostly
shift.
It's like, yeah, they're just going to be covering different shifts, but
that's good.
Yeah. He's nervous. Well, everyone's nervous on the first day of a new job.
Every time. Never not.
I remember the first day we walked in here. Very nervous.
Oh, my God. I was a wreck.
Yeah.
A wreck. Thanks, Adam. Wonder why. We don't have to get into it right now.
My kitchen strays over here?
Good vibes on a Monday.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's check traffic. When we come back, I want to talk about, yes, it was a series win, which means the Padres did take two in a row on Friday and Saturday.
God, felt
and
good.
They were wild games, especially Friday, of course.
Oh,
we'll get to that coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. All right. So we have never seen anything like Friday's eighth inning.
No.
For the San Diego Padres in franchise history. I was watching the game and, you know, it was such a weird game because, of course, it started out as a pitcher's duel on Friday between Dylan Cease and Michael Wacha. Five scoreless innings from both of them. Michael Wacha, by the way, doing so with a broken foot. First batter of the game, Luis Arraez hit a liner. And he stayed in the game, but as it turned out, they put him on the injured list yesterday because they realized he had a broken foot. And he pitched five scoreless innings with that. Dylan Cease kept the game scoreless, and it was 0-0 going into the sixth. Now, that's when the offense started. The Padres scored a couple on a Tatis double and a Profar single, but then Cease allowed three in the bottom of the inning, and you're going, uh-oh, all right, are they going to drop this series opener? So it's 3-2 going into the top of the eighth inning, and I'm just sitting there watching, and it's single.
I got the whole
inning, yeah.
Yep. Luis Arraez leads off with a single. Tatis, single. Profar, single.
Bunt single.
Bunt single. Jake Cronenworth, single. Machado, single. Donovan Solano, single. Jackson Merrill, single. Ha-Sung Kim with one out, singles. Arraez, singles. Tatis struck out, Profar.
Bad call.
Yeah, bad call. Profar, singles. Cronenworth, doubles, breaking up the singles streak. 11-3. So you're looking at that and you're going, well, this is the greatest night of my life. This is fantastic. What an easy, easy dub for our San Diego Padres.
The 11 hits in the inning were a franchise record and the seven straight singles to open the inning as well. And it was Arraez's fourth four-hit game. He had two of his hits that inning since he's joined the San Diego Padres.
That is insane.
And the Padres had six different players with multiple hits in the game.
Just a beautiful, beautiful sight.
And before we talk about what happened after that, I will say it is part of the approach of the San Diego Padres. Now, it doesn't usually work out quite that well, but we've seen this team working on putting the ball in play. And it has come at the expense of some of the slug. They have not hit home runs the way they did in the past. They also don't have quite as many home run hitters as they had in the past.
The ones we have are not.
And the ones that they have are not hitting home runs. But they're putting the ball in play. And when it comes together and they're handing the baton from one player to the next in the lineup, as they like to say, it can look really, really special like it did in that inning.
It was beautiful. It was just one of the most beautiful, beautiful half innings I've ever seen in my whole life. Jumping up and down. You know, this is incredible. Wandy Peralta comes in, gives you a scoreless eight. And then Stephen Kolek comes in with 11-3 lead. Ben, he got...
After the Royals have already thrown in the towel and put a position player in to pitch the top of the ninth.
Yeah.
So they have essentially
punted,
raised the white flag on the game. It's over.
Bro, that half inning. How long did that half inning take?
I don't know.
50 minutes, it felt like. I could feel my heart. I could hear it. Like, I could hear my heartbeat lying in bed watching the game. Hannah was out to dinner with some girlfriends, and the kids were down. And I'm just laying there, Benny, and I have gnarled my nails by the time that inning is over. Stephen Kolek comes in.
I was just hoping, don't make Robert Torres get up in the bullpen.
Yeah, don't even want him.
Don't even let him waste a couple of pitches warming up just in case
stretching,
he has to come in.
Anything, nothing.
But obviously it got beyond that point, because once the tying run was in the hole, making it a save situation, Mike Schilt did, in fact, go to Robert Suarez. Now, you can argue, should he have stuck with Stephen Kolek a little bit longer? But then Suarez comes in, gives up the two-run single, and all of a sudden, it's a three-run game. There's two runners on. The tying run is at the plate.
At the plate.
And at this point, you go,
This
would be one of the most unthinkable losses in baseball history.
Yeah, this is over for us. And when he hit it,
Nelson Velasquez.
Nelson Velasquez. When he hit that ball,
it was gone. I mean, I was watching on the TV. I was 100% sure that that was a home run. Don didn't help. He had the Yeah, the reaction that made you think that it was gone. Do we have Jesse's call of that? Hey, Adam, can
you
find that?
That's a lot to ask from the
you don't have to find
right
it instantly,
now.
But...
He's sweating. I can see it.
Of the final out on Friday, because I didn't hear that one, because I was out of town. But I did hear Don, and Don's reaction, and just the way it came off the bat, I was certain the game was tied.
Well, he was pimping it, too. He stared at it, because he thought
he
got
it. Yeah, everything about it screamed, game is tied, 11-11, and I'm going... Can they come back and win this game? And, I mean, the base is going to be empty. It's going to go to extra innings,
and
probably.
Even if they do, you're like, that's the worst win we've ever had.
Right.
That's a win that feels... It already felt a little bit like an L in that.
Let's see how Jesse did it. All right, here's Jesse's call of that. Nelson Velasquez, potential game tire.
First pitch to Velasquez, swung on, sent in the air to deep left field. Zokar is back at the wall. He's got it! And the ball game is over. About as an adventurous of a bottom of the ninth as you could ever dream of in what was an 11-3 game.
I mean, wow. You guys. So the ripple effect of that, of course, with Stephen Kolek not being able to hold an 8-run lead and having to use Robert Suarez, who, again, Robert almost gave it up. I mean, it was like, it just felt like Royals' night.
I've got to feel like... And not to alibi or make excuses for Robert Suarez, but you're probably not in the mental situation at 11-3 that I need to get ready, prepared to come into this ninth inning to finish the game. You're in kind of post-game, all right, let's move on to the next one mode. No, and that is not a criticism of Robert Suarez. Anyone in their right mind would be like, all right, mentally, I've shifted off for this game. They're not going to need me. It's time for me to get into relaxation mode so I can get ready for the next game when they might need me. So I wasn't expecting Robert Suarez to be at his best when he went in a situation like that.
This game, it's got me nervous right now talking about it. And it's already over and we won. It still gives me agita. Like, my stomach is still in knots thinking about that. But the ripple effect of that. So if you're Mike Schilt, you know, we'll talk about, you want to talk about the next game now?
Well, because these two games go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because it was still a close game, obviously. They'd used Jeremiah Estrada in that 2-2 game when Dylan Cease.
What did you think about that move? At the time, I loved it. I'm like, this is Mike Schilt.
Well, it turned out not to matter, but. For Mike Schilt to end the longest strikeout streak in baseball history by calling for an intentional walk after he called a guy in from the bullpen, had he struck out the next guy and it wouldn't have counted as number 14, I would have lit up Mike Schilt today. Why not just intentionally walk the guy before you
let's C-swear
that one and give Estrada at least a chance at the 14th strikeout? Now,
he gave up
the sack fly. It didn't matter, but... Have at least some awareness of history that's going on your own team.
But here's
the thing.
You
can't do that to your player.
But here's the thing. I am the worst for this, and I get it. I don't care. It was a great moment. Even Schilt, when we brought it up Friday, did you hear how he answered the question? He's like, yeah, it was good for him. I mean, it's not something you should be thinking about as a manager, really. Honestly, I really believe that. Like, could he have said to Dylan, give him the 4? Yeah, of course he could have. Should he have? I don't know. I didn't care. I just want to win ball games, like, at any cost. You know, do what we have to win games. I was not upset about that really at all. And maybe people like think that I should be. I really was.
So then that...
I mean, this isn't DiMaggio's 56 hit streak. You know what I mean?
But you got to give him a chance
to keep it going.
I know. Opportunity.
I just did not care.
So because, you know, Estrada had pitched on Friday and then Suarez had pitched on Friday... And then Schilt uses both of them again on Saturday in what is another, you know, fairly close game. But the Padres do end up taking that 7-3 lead. You had Wandy Peralta get one out, I think, in the eighth. Three pitches.
And he had thrown
the day before, but you could have left him in the ninth inning with the 4-run lead and tried to save Robert Suarez for potential use on Sunday. He didn't. We both said earlier. Didn't have a huge problem with that. You want to make sure you win the series. You feel good about Suarez, clean inning, and he got the outs that he needed. The Padres got 4 shutout innings from their bullpen on Saturday. And by the way, again, Randy Vasquez on late notice. He did not arrive until about 1 a.m. they said at the team hotel early Saturday morning to replace Joe Musgrove, who was going on the injured list. Yeah, he gave up three runs, but he gave him five innings, only gave up four hits, struck out six.
He did a fantastic
job. Really solid performance.
Fantastic work from him and buckling down after giving up early runs, too. Nice game from Toddy that day, 3-for-4 with a bomb and RBI.
Looks like June is starting to hit for Fernando Tatis Jr., perhaps.
You said this a few weeks ago on the air, and I don't know why. I've never even thought about it. You're like, God, May is such a long month. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. It wouldn't end. It would not end. And you see, there, Kyle Schwarber's another one. He's a June guy. And I think he went deep his first game in June as well. You know, there's something about it when you get out of May. May felt like it was 60 days long. It really did. And of course, Tatis, you know, is looking good, heating up right now in June. So hopefully keep that rolling.
But, and probably Ha-Sung Kim's best game of the season.
No doubt.
On Saturday with the bases clearing double, the triple, scored a run, made a couple of really nice defensive plays at short as well.
Yeah, Randy was great. Morholm was great. But yeah, I really don't fault Mike Schilt there either, guys. And I know a lot of people do. But I think if you have a chance to win that game, you got Cole Reagans on the bump on a Sunday, a lefty. You haven't fared that well against lefties this year. You know they're scrounging to salvage a game too. I'm really have no problem with Suarez throwing that game at all. And I don't. I need Yuki Matsui to execute yesterday and get that win. That's really all I needed from them, and that's what they expected. And they pay him a tremendous amount of money to do so. And he just was not competitive yesterday at all.
So they did win their eighth series out of their last 10.
Yep. You might hear that this week.
They climbed another game above 500. There are two games. They had a chance to get to four games above 500. Yeah. It's such a big difference, though.
It really is.
The sweep versus the winning 2 out of 3. Because it's not one game. It's really two games in the standings. That win-loss
is
big.
It's just like rolling in a birdie. A birdie, oh, I'm one under. No, you're normally double bogey. So you're like, that shot is worth four strokes in golf. And that's how you feel when you blow a game in the ninth inning of a game you had a chance to sweep the series.
Mm-hmm. The Padres are in the second wild card spot, second place in the National League West at 32-30, a game and a half ahead of the Cardinals, and two games ahead of the Giants, who got swept by the Yankees over the weekend. So, you know, as we sit here on June 3rd, the Padres are in a good spot. They're where we would hope they would have been at this point. But we also can acknowledge that they missed some opportunities where they could have been even better. They could have been in a more comfortable spot. They could have been competing with the Atlanta Braves for the first wild card instead of being 3.5 games behind the Braves at this point for the first wild card. So, you know, a lot of good here through the first 2+ months of the season. More good than bad, but you know, now that you're facing some pitching injuries with Musgrove and Darvish, you wonder, can you make hay in the schedule as it starts to get a little bit easier? I think the next 13 games are all against teams below 500 for the Padres, but can you actually make some inroads against teams like that, or are you just going for another series win?
Quickly, what's the position player rule again? 11-3 game.
You have to be either down by 8 or up by 10 in the ninth inning.
Okay. So we couldn't have used Jay.
No.
Right. All right.
That was not an option. They were only up by 8. All right. We'll come back. 2 hours to go. Sammy Levitt's going to join us in our 8 o'clock hour of Ben and Woods as well. Don't go away. More on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. My son's starting a new job today.
Really?
Yeah. He's actually going to be working at the same place his brother is working, because he's had a good experience and they needed another employee. So
killer.
Now they're going to both be at the same store in Carlsbad.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I don't know if I could have worked with my brother.
I assume they're probably not going to be working at the same time.
Same
mostly
shift.
It's like, yeah, they're just going to be covering different shifts, but
that's good.
Yeah. He's nervous. Well, everyone's nervous on the first day of a new job.
Every time. Never not.
I remember the first day we walked in here. Very nervous.
Oh, my God. I was a wreck.
Yeah.
A wreck. Thanks, Adam. wonder why. We don't have to get into it right now.
My kitchen strays over here?
Good vibes on a Monday.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check traffic. When we come back, I want to talk about Yes, it was a series win, which means the Padres did take two in a row on Friday and Saturday.
God, felt
and
good.
They were wild games, especially Friday, of course.
Oh,
we'll get to that coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so we have never seen anything like Friday's eighth inning for the San Diego Padres in franchise history. I was watching the game, and you know, it was such a weird game because, of course, it started out as a pitcher's duel on Friday between Dylan Cease and Michael Wacha. Five scoreless innings from both of them. Michael Wacha, by the way, doing so with a broken foot. First batter of the game, Luis Arraez hit a liner, and he stayed in the game, but as it turned out, they put him on the injured list yesterday because they realized he had a broken foot, and he pitched five scoreless innings with that. Dylan Cease kept the game scoreless, and it was 0-0 going into the sixth. Now, that's when the offense started. The Padres scored a couple on a Tatis double and a Profar single, but then Cease allowed three in the bottom of the inning, and you're going, uh-oh, all right, are they going to drop this series opener? So it's 3-2 going into the top of the eighth inning, and I'm just sitting there watching, and it's single.
I got the whole
inning, yeah.
Yep. Luis Arraez leads off with a single. Tatis, single. Profar, single.
Bunt single.
Jake Cronenworth, single. Machado, single. Donovan Solano, single. Jackson Merrill, single. Ha-Sung Kim with one out, singles. Arraez, singles. Tatis struck out. Profar.
Bad call.
Yeah, bad call. Profar, singles. Cronenworth, doubles, breaking up the singles streak. 11-3. So you're looking at that, and you're going, well, this is the greatest night of my life. This is fantastic. What an easy, easy dub for our San Diego Padres.
The 11 hits in the inning were a franchise record, and the seven straight singles to open the inning as well. And it was Arraez's fourth four-hit game. He had two of his hits that inning since he's joined the San Diego Padres.
That is insane.
And the Padres had six different players with multiple hits in the game.
Just a beautiful, beautiful sight.
And before we talk about what happened after that, I will say it is part of the approach of the San Diego Padres. Now, it doesn't usually work out quite that well, but we've seen this team working on putting the ball in play. And it has come at the expense of some of the slug. They have not hit home runs the way they did in the past. They also don't have quite as many home run hitters as they had in the past.
The ones we have are not.
And the ones that they have are not hitting home runs. But they're putting the ball in play. And when it comes together and they're handing the baton from one player to the next in the lineup, as they like to say, it can look really, really special like it did in that inning.
It was beautiful. It was just one of the most beautiful, beautiful half innings I've ever seen in my whole life. Jumping up and down. You know, this is incredible. Wandy Peralta comes in, gives you a scoreless eight. And then Stephen Kolek comes in with 11-3 lead. Ben, he got...
After the Royals have already thrown in the towel and put a position player in to pitch the top of the ninth.
Yeah.
So they have essentially
punted,
raised the white flag on the game. It's over.
Bro, that half inning. How long did that half inning take?
I don't know.
50 minutes, it felt like. I could feel my heart. I could hear it. Like, I could hear my heartbeat lying in bed watching the game. Hannah was out to dinner with some girlfriends, and the kids were down. And I'm just laying there, Benny, and I have gnarled my nails by the time that inning is over. Stephen Kolek comes in.
I was just hoping, don't make Robert Torres get up in the bullpen.
Yeah, you don't even want him.
Don't even let him waste a couple of pitches warming up just in case
stretching,
he has to come in.
Anything, nothing.
But obviously it got beyond that point, because once the tying run was in the hole, making it a save situation, Mike Schilt did, in fact, go to Robert Suarez. Now, you can argue, should he have stuck with Stephen Kolek a little bit longer? But then Suarez comes in, gives up the two-run single, and all of a sudden, it's a three-run game. There's two runners on. The tying run is at the plate.
At the plate.
And at this point, you go,
This
would be one of the most unthinkable losses in baseball history.
Yeah, this is over for us. And when he hit it,
Nelson Velasquez.
Nelson Velasquez. When he hit that ball,
it was gone. I mean, I was watching on the TV. I was 100% sure that was a home run. Don didn't help. He had the reaction that made you think that it was gone. Do we have Jesse's call of that? Hey, Adam, can you find that?
That's a lot to ask from the
you don't have to find
right
it instantly,
now.
But
he's sweating. I can see it.
Of the final out on Friday, because I didn't hear that one because I was out of town. But I did hear Don, and Don's reaction and just the way it came off the bat, I was certain the game was tied.
Well, he was pimping it, too. He stared at it because he thought he got it.
Oh, yeah. Everything about it screamed, game is tied, 11-11. And I'm going, can they come back and win this game? And, I mean, the base is going to be empty. It's going to go to extra innings,
and
probably.
Even if they do, it's you're like, that's the worst win we've ever had.
Right.
That's a win that feels... It already felt a little bit like an L in that.
Look, right. Let's see how Jesse did it. All right, here's Jesse's call of that. Nelson Velasquez, potential game tire.
First pitch to Velasquez, swung on, sent in the air to deep left field. Zocar is back at the wall. He's got it! And the ball game is over. About as an adventurous of a bottom of the ninth as you could ever dream of in what was an 11-3 game.
I mean, wow. You guys. So the ripple effect of that, of course, with Stephen Kolek not being able to hold an 8-run lead and having to use Robert Suarez, who, again, Robert almost gave it up. I mean, it was like, it just felt like Royals' night.
I've got to feel like... And not to alibi or make excuses for Robert Suarez, but you're probably not in the mental situation
at
11-3 that now, I need to get ready, prepared to come into this ninth inning to finish the game. You're in kind of post-game, all right, let's move on to the next one mode. No, and that is not a criticism of Robert Suarez. Anyone in their right mind would be like, all right, mentally, I've shifted off for this game. They're not going to need me. It's time for me to get into relaxation mode so I can get ready for the next game when they might need me. So I wasn't expecting Robert Suarez to be at his best when he went in a situation like that.
This game, it's got me nervous right now talking about it. And it's already over and we won. It still gives me agita. Like, my stomach is still in knots thinking about that. But the ripple effect of that. So if you're Mike Schilt, you know, we'll talk about, you want to talk about the next game now?
Well, because these two games go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because it was still a close game, obviously. They'd used Jeremiah Estrada in that 2-2 game when Dylan Cease.
What did you think about that move? At the time, I loved it. I'm like, this is Mike Schilt.
Well, it turned out not to matter, but. For Mike Schilt to end the longest strikeout streak in baseball history by calling for an intentional walk after he called a guy in from the bullpen, had he struck out the next guy and it wouldn't have counted as number 14, I would have lit up Mike Schilt today. Why not just intentionally walk the guy before you
let C-swear
that one and give Estrada at least a chance at the 14th strikeout? Now,
bro,
he gave up the sack fly. It didn't matter, but... Have at least some awareness of history that's going on your own team.
But here's
the thing.
You
can't do that to your player.
But here's the thing. I am the worst for this, and I get it. I don't care. It was a great moment. Even Schilt, when we brought it up Friday, did you hear how he answered the question? He's like, yeah, it was good for him. I mean, it's not something you should be thinking about as a manager, really. Honestly, I really believe that. Like, could he have said to Dylan, give him the 4? Yeah, of course he could have. Should he have? I don't know. I didn't care. I just want to win ball games, like, at any cost. You know, do what we have to win games. I was not upset about that really at all. And maybe people like think that I should be. I really was.
So then that...
I mean, this isn't DiMaggio's 56 hit streak. You know what I mean?
But you got to give him a chance
to keep it going. I know.
Opportunity.
I just did not care.
So because, you know, Estrada had pitched on Friday and then Suarez had pitched on Friday... And then Schilt uses both of them again on Saturday in what is another, you know, fairly close game. The Padres do end up taking that 7-3 lead. You had Wandy Peralta get one out, I think, in the eighth. Three pitches.
And he had thrown
the day before, but you could have left him in the ninth inning with the 4-run lead and tried to save Robert Suarez for potential use on Sunday. He didn't. We both said earlier. Didn't have a huge problem with that. You want to make sure you win the series. You feel good about Suarez, clean inning, and he got the outs that he needed. The Padres got 4 shutout innings from their bullpen on Saturday. And by the way, again, Randy Vasquez on late notice. He did not arrive until about 1 a.m., they said, at the team hotel early Saturday morning to replace Joe Musgrove, who was going on the injured list. Yeah, he gave up 3 runs, but he gave him 5 innings, gave up 4 hits, struck out 6.
He did a fantastic
job. Really solid performance.
Fantastic work from him and buckling down after giving up early runs, too. Nice game from Toddy that day, 3-for-4 with a bomb and RBI.
Looks like June is starting to hit for Fernando Tatis Jr., perhaps.
You said this a few weeks ago on the air, and I don't know why. I've never even thought about it. You're like, God, May is such a long month. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. It wouldn't end. It would not end. And you see, there, Kyle Schwarber's another one. He's a June guy. And I think he went deep his first game in June as well. You know, there's something about it when you get out of May. May felt like it was 60 days long. It really did. And of course, Tatis, you know, is looking good, heating up right now in June. So hopefully keep that rolling.
But, and probably Ha-Sung Kim's best game of the season.
No doubt.
On Saturday with the bases clearing double, the triple, scored a run, made a couple of really nice defensive plays at short as well.
Yeah, Randy was great. Moreholm was great. I really don't fault Mike Schilt there either, guys. And I know a lot of people do. But I think if you have a chance to win that game, you got Cole Reagans on the bump on a Sunday, a lefty. You haven't fared that well against lefties this year. You know they're scrounging to salvage a game too. I'm really have no problem with Suarez throwing that game at all. And I don't. I need Yuki Matsui to execute yesterday and get that win. That's really all I needed from them, and that's what they expected. And they pay him a tremendous amount of money to do so. And he just was not competitive yesterday at all.
So they did win their eighth series out of their last 10.
Yep. You might hear that this week.
They climbed another game above 500. They're now two games. They had a chance to get to four games above 500. Yep. It's such a big difference, though.
It really
is. The sweep versus the winning two out of three. Because it's not one game. It's really two games in the standings. That win-loss
is
big.
It's just like rolling in a birdie. A birdie, oh, I'm one under. No. You're normally double bogey. So you're like, that shot is worth four strokes in golf. And that's how you feel when you blow a game in the ninth inning of a game you had a chance to sweep the series.
Mm-hmm. The Padres are in the second wild card spot, second place in the National League West at 32-30. A game and a half ahead of the Cardinals and two games ahead of the Giants, who got swept by the Yankees over the weekend. So, you know, as we sit here on June 3rd, the Padres are in a good spot. They're where we would hope they would have been at this point. But we also can acknowledge that they missed some opportunities where they could have been even better. They could have been in a more comfortable spot. They could have been competing with the Atlanta Braves for the first wild card instead of being 3.5 games behind the Braves at this point for the first wild card. So, you know, a lot of good here through the first 2+ months of the season. More good than bad, but you know, now that you're facing some pitching injuries with Musgrove and Darvish, you wonder, can you make hay in the schedule as it starts to get a little bit easier? I think the next 13 games are all against teams below 500 for the Padres, but can you actually make some inroads against teams like that, or are you just going for another series win?
Quickly, what's the position player rule again? 11-3 game.
You have to be either down by 8 or up by 10 in the ninth inning.
Okay. So we couldn't have used Jay.
No.
Right. All right.
That was not an option. They were only up by 8. All right. We'll come back. 2 hours to go. Sammy Levitt's going to join us in our 8 o'clock hour of Ben and Woods as well. Don't go away. More on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.